1. Pardon me. If you would like to stand and read with us this morning, we'd be happy for you to read along with us. We'll have them up so you can see. There's about 3 other places that I want to read. So rather than you trying to scramble, you can look at them there on the screen. Acts chapter 1, chapter 6, verse number 1. Let's all read it together. "And in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I want you to look at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians while you're still standing there. I'd like you to read them along with me as well. 1 Corinthians, this is in chapter number 7, verse number 20 and verse number 24. Verse number 20, let's read it. "But let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." Now look at verse number 24. "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God." Then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. I can hear pages turning. You're trying to get there. Verse number 58, 1 Corinthians. A lot of you can quote this one. So let's read it together. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anybody here with any age on you at all, can you look back on your life at some things that you have labored on in your life that you finally lost interest in it and said, it's just not worth it? And that labor that you bestowed on that project or that endeavor was labor that was in vain. And you say, oh, if I just had it to do over, I'd spend my time doing something else. Amen. For as much as ye know that your labor, whatever you do, and this should challenge every one of us to seek to spend our time in something that is profitable. Not only for ourselves, but for the kingdom of God. For your labor is not in vain. Whatever it is, however small it is or how great it is, your labor, anything that is done with a right attitude for Christ and for the kingdom of Christ, it is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And that ought to encourage every one of us. So I want to use for a title today, abounding in your calling. Abounding in your calling. Let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. I defer to Brother James for a moment because I know you've had a lot more formal training than I have, and it's valuable. I wish I'd had opportunity to have more, but I do understand that these two verses that we read, and you read it together, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 and verse 24, are not in context. I lifted those two verses out of context. Now, young preachers, preacher boys, you must, and this is just a side note, but you've got to be careful, and this can apply to teachers, anybody that's taking the Word of God in hand to lift something. People have created false doctrines, hear me, because they lifted a verse or a phrase out of context. You know, and to make the point, you know, they take two or three different scriptures, and people have used this before. Judas went out and hanged himself. And then there's another scripture that says, go and do thou likewise. So you can get in trouble taking things out of context. Are y'all still here? So I understand, and for you Bible scholars that read and study the Bible, you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is talking about marriage. And not only is it talking about marriage, it's talking about a servitude. Hey, man, come on now. Whatever, and maybe some of you ought to go take a look at that and read it. But he said, whatever your call, let every man abide in the same calling wherewith he was called. Amen. If he called you there and he brought you there, then he wants you to abide in that calling wherewith you were called. All right. But I want to use that with a point, even though I'm taking those two scriptures out of context of what I'm trying to. The point I'm trying to make to you about abounding in your calling. Amen. How many know you're better off to continue doing what you're good at? The young church at Jerusalem was suffering from growing pains. And if you would read, and we've read from chapter 6 of the book of Acts, our opening passage. But if you would read chapter 5. You would somewhat understand the things that were going on. Now, and I, for sake of time, but let me indulge me just for a moment or two, if I may. I don't necessarily believe that everything that the young church at Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost, the things that they were doing and the style they were adopting was absolutely 100% correct. Because it speaks about the new church having all things common. How many remember reading that? You know, all things common can very easily morph into communism. We're against communism, aren't we? You know, every man's ability according to every man's need. You know, whatever your need is. You know, brother, if you got a little more money in your bank account than I have in my bank account, and God wants us all to mind the same thing, have the same thing. He wants us all to be equal. Come on now. I'm saying this for a reason, but you've heard this, and I have too. He wants us all to be the same, look the same, act the same, mind the same thing. You know, not one be above another. Y'all still here? and I don't know how, Brother Ken, I don't know how this young church that was so filled with the power of God, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation, all the things that they had, how they so quickly got on the wrong track. Amen. But how many know God brought it back really, really quick? Amen. And you understand what was happening if you read chapter 5. Because people that had property and great, great possessions were selling their possessions. Are y'all still here? And they were bringing them and laying those things at the apostles' feet. And then the apostles were burdened with all of this money and all of these resources to try to distribute. Now, please hear me. Man, if I start trying to balance every statement, we are going to be here for a long time. We have an obligation to the less fortunate. Come on now. Come on, please help me here. We have, as Christian, we are to our neighbors, even if we don't know them, to the down and out and the destitute. We owe as Christians. Brother Carl has been doing a great job teaching about what a Christian is. We do have an obligation. But if you will read even in the book of Acts a little bit further on, the Apostle Paul in his missionary journeys and establishing Gentile churches was taking up collections, Brother Galen, to bring back to give to the poor saints at Jerusalem. That's where it started at Jerusalem. But the reason there was poor saints at Jerusalem, they had given everything away. It wasn't the will of God for them to be in that place. And also in this competition, it gave place. I didn't think about taking so much time with this. I'm not wearing y'all out with this, am I? Okay, maybe I am. But it gave the enemy a place to work in the minds of like-minded people. Like, anybody ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? And because they were seeing that other people were selling property and bringing and laying it at the apostles' feet, and they said, well, we have some property, you know, I've heard this poor couple used in so many ways, so wrong. You know, the thing that happened to them could have happened to a lot of other people, I have a feeling. It was their property. It wasn't the property of the apostles. It wasn't the property of the church. It wasn't the property for anybody to tell them what they had to do with what was theirs. The problem was Satan had got into their heart because of pride, because they wanted to get an acclamation or to be accredited for look what Brother Todd gave last week in the offering. Look what Brother Brad brought and gave and laid at the apostles' feet. And we have some property, and man, they got a lot of acclamation, and so we'll sell ours, but the only thing is we're gonna keep back some for ourselves, which was fine. Come on now. Which was fine for them to do that. The problem was they said we're gonna tell the apostles that we sold it for so much, and then we gave all of that to the church. Woo! Hallelujah. And we're going to keep some of it. That's where they got in trouble. Peter even said to them, while it was yours, it was yours. You do whatever you want to with it. But why did Satan fill your heart to lie? How many know you can do right things for wrong reasons? Come on. Boy, I hope I'm helping y'all today. Jesus, help us here, Lord. So, here they are. Now, remember, y'all read chapter 6, but chapter 5 is where Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the discipline that was meted out was severe because of their lie. Man, I don't think any of us want the Holy Ghost to work quite like it did then. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks that be in a lot of trouble. Amen. And all of it was because of pride, and Satan filled their heart. And they not only lied to men and to the church, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. Man, I wish I could help somebody in here this morning. We must be careful what we do with what is ours. And then what we try to portray to others is what we are doing. Help me to preach here today, Lord. Amen. And it's hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to grasp that the church, the saints, watched them carry Ananias and Sapphira right out of the house of God and take them out and bury them because they lied to the Holy Ghost. Amen. I realized there needed to be some direction and they needed to change, amen, their ideas of communism and having all things common. And I understand that needed to change, and it did change. Amen. But listen, in the very next chapter, the widows start complaining. Amen. Well, Sister So-and-so got a loaf of bread, and I didn't get my gallon of milk, and they got their electric bill paid this week, and I didn't get mine, and this one did. Amen. And next time I see Peter at church, I'm going to talk to him about that, and I'm going to let him know that he needs to do something about that. Amen. Hey, come on now. Are y'all getting the point? And it was a problem. The apostles, the great men of God that God used on the day of Pentecost to preach a sermon, and 3,000 souls got saved, is now wrapped up in the day-to-day activities of making sure, amen, that Sister Chloe and Sister Sapphira and Sister, you know, and on and on and on. Amen. now begins the complaining, the accusations, and the charges of favoritism. Oh, yeah. I know some of y'all like emotional preaching. I'm sorry, I can't deliver that every time. But I'm teaching something here today. You got to be careful. I'm telling you, when God starts giving us new converts like he has, when we look around, we got several. You need to be careful about what you complain about, what goes on down at the house of God. Because if you're not careful, your complaining is going to turn into charges of accusations. It's going to hinder somebody. Amen. It's kind of hard to believe after just having a great revival like they had, isn't it? And then they seen the manifestation of those that got in the wrong idea and the wrong spirit. What happened to them? But now they are accusing, they're charging, they're leveling accusations at the apostles that they're being neglected in the daily ministration and showing favoritism one to another. Praise God. Indulge me again for another moment. We preachers are real good. I think I can speed this up here in just a little bit. I'm sorry, I've lost track of when I started. We preachers are real good at this. When things get dicey, the first things we say, we need a board. We need a board. Let's get a board to handle this. Let's get a board to take care of this. Come on, some of you smile. See if you can. Let's get a committee and see if we can work this out. I mean, y'all, all of you ought to say amen, because that's what we preachers do. We try to find some way to get our kind of extract ourselves out of it, don't we? Y'all want to talk to somebody? We got a board. Talk to them. See them about your gallon of milk and your loaf of bread and your. Y'all still here? Praise God. Well, I don't know if I'm doing any good at all here today or not. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, there's a way to deal with these issues. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. However, I do believe it speaks to the greater point here. Amen. Let somebody else do what they're good at so you can continue to do what you're good at. Do you see the remedy the Holy Ghost had for the new church that was on fire? Amen. That we read about in the book of Acts. Amen. The enemy, hear me now. The enemy, amen, is unsuccessful. If he is unsuccessful in attracting you to something else, he will try to distract you. Hear me now. Amen. If he can't get your attention, he'll try to distract. Amen. Either way, he wins. He knows he can't stop the work of God, so he will be satisfied just to hinder the work of God. Amen. In the name of Jesus, church. Amen. Would you pull in here and help me preach this morning? Amen. I'm trying to tell us something. God has given us some things. God has trusted us with some things. God has given us revival. God has given us some new converts. Amen. And we are not only to make converts out of them, but we are supposed to make disciples. Amen. How many know Jesus said, go into all nations and make disciples? What are disciples? They are not converts to a creed or an idea or a religion, but they become a learner of what Jesus Christ teaches. Amen. And that is the problem with a lot of people that was wrapped up in this great revival at Jerusalem. They were not taking the time to be discipled and be taught. They were just doing what they saw other people doing. And it started the church in a wrong direction. Amen. And it took drastic consequences to pull it back in check. Amen. But God wants to help us here and show us there is a divine plan and a way that he can get his work done. Can you say amen? Amen. Go ahead and worship for a moment if you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You brethren that own businesses, you don't want, you don't need. Amen. Me standing over your shoulder. Amen. Trying to tell you how to run your business every day. Amen. Don't anybody get any wrong ideas. Amen. But really, the pastor don't need you standing over his shoulder. Amen. Trying to micromanage everything in the church. Amen. In case anybody's wondering, there's nobody doing that. Nobody's pressured me. I can't imagine pastoring any place else. I don't know of a better church with a stronger board of more godly praying men. Amen. And they don't, they are not that way. They've never been that way. They've never tried in any way whatsoever. Amen. A matter of fact, I have a hard time trying to get them sometimes to submit their ideas simply because they want to know what I think and how I feel about certain things. And I appreciate that. I really do. Amen. But let me tell you something. There are some things in the body of Christ that you can do that I can't do, or Brother James can't do, or the teachers can't do. And I'm preaching to you this morning that God wants to use you and your wisdom and your talents, amen, to edify the body of Christ. And if you'll be willing to do what you're good at, you know what's going to happen? God is going to bless this ministry. God is going to bless this church. God is going to bless you. In the meantime, you can't get in on the blessings of God without the residual flowing over and touching your life and your family that will also change you. Amen. Will somebody worship God while the preacher's trying to preach? Amen. Let's have church in here this morning. Amen. God wants to use you. God don't want to only use the ministry. Amen. He wants to use you in your proper place to edify the body of Christ so the work of God can go on. And operate like it's supposed to. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Every man abide in the calling wherewith he is called. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If I do what I'm called to do, and you do what you're called to do, amen. Oh, brother. Brother Galen, if I called you up on Saturday and tried to tell you how to play the piano, and how to sing, and tell Brother Tony how to lead the songs and what songs to sing. And I called all the Sunday school teachers together and told them what to teach on. We wouldn't even need the Holy Ghost, would we? I tell you what, if I sat down and tried to play the piano, we'd need the Holy Ghost, brother. We would need a Holy Ghost revival. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But how many knows that sometimes the man or the woman on the piano, come on now, somebody help me here. Y'all are awful scattered out. Come on, I really, really need you to come on in here. How many know sometimes when my words are kind of failing like they are right now to touch and to get where they need to be, that somebody can sit down on the piano, amen, and start playing a melody, amen, and start singing a lovely song, amen, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, amen, the manifestation of the gifts begin to start working somewhere else, amen. Somebody will stand up and testify, somebody will contribute something, amen, and all of a sudden, oh, Brother Cleve, I watch you day after day, Sunday after Sunday before you got saved, when conviction was reaching for your heart, amen, I pulled and I prayed and I preached and I done all I thought I could do, amen, and wouldn't you know, one night, amen, three little girls get up here to sing, and the Holy Ghost started moving, and the next thing I knew, Brother Cleve was in the altar and prayed through and got saved and never has went back. I wish somebody would shout hallelujah in this place. There is a work for you to do that is a part and just as important and urgent and necessary. Amen. The reason we don't get a lot of things done is because some people are so stubborn that they try to hold their thumb on every little thing and won't let things and talents develop from other people that would be an asset to the body of Christ. Wish somebody get happy this morning. Amen. And shout hallelujah. God wants you to abound. He wants you to abound in your calling. He wants you to do good. Do what you can do. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You remember when Moses got the children of Israel? He went back. I don't have time to preach the whole story. It'd take too long. But I'll pick up on this part. After my great deliverance and the Passover and the blood on the door and the post. Amen. He finally got that great multitude out of Egypt's bondage. You remember that Moses had spent 40 years, amen, in the desert. Matter of fact, that's where he met Jethro. That's where he met his wife. Amen. I know God had to deal with them about circumcision and different things. Amen. Before Zipporah and those boys. Amen. Could go back with Moses. Hallelujah. Come on here. Amen. But by the time he gets them out of Egypt and he gets back out in that desert where he had spent so many decades of his life. Amen. Here come old Jethro. Amen. That's Moses' father-in-law. Amen. You know what happened? They sat down in that tent and Moses started telling the priest of Midian all the wonderful things that God had done and the miracles he had before Pharaoh in bringing them out of Egypt. Amen. Before it was all said and done, Moses said to him, come and go with us and we'll do you good. Amen. Give him praise, church. Amen. God had a work not only for Moses, but he had some input somebody else. This could get a little dicey, Brother Arnold. I hope you stay with me. You go read it. You can read it just like I did. Jethro was a priest of Midian. I don't know exactly what all that entailed. He must have been somewhat of a godly man. Are y'all still here? It's been our mentality. Well, we can't do that because that's what the Baptist folks do. Why don't y'all say amen? Brother Bill Tinsley said one time, he talked to a fellow one time, he said, I just can't hardly get with that paying tithes business because that's the way the Assemblies of God preach it. So if they done it, it must be wrong. So it won't work for us. We don't want no part. Say that again, preacher man.
Yeah, say it again. Don't you worry about reading that Bible any.
Don't worry about what the Bible said. If they done it, it's got to be wrong. You see. Yeah. Brother Bill Tinsley said, well, my goodness. Why does it matter if they do it or not if it's biblical? Come on now. Are y'all getting my point? How many is going to help the preacher preach here this morning? Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. Just because some people, there's been people in the independent free holiness movement that backslid. Bless God, there's still some good old time Assembly of God folks. Amen. They didn't move over. The organization went off and left them. That's what Clendenin and some of those guys said. Come on now. Amen. There are some things we can learn if we would just open up a little bit. I'm going to ask you again now, Bethany. Do you want your church to grow? Do we want to continue to have revival? Amen. Do we want to see more of what we seen last Sunday night? You know what? We may have to challenge some of our ideas. We may have to challenge some of our things. Amen. And see if it stands up beside of what the Word of God said. Amen. Hallelujah. I wish I could help somebody in here this morning. Amen. We got to realize we can abound in our calling. And there are people in this church that I believe have a zeal and a mind and a heart to do something for God. And we got to give them a place and an opening and an opportunity, amen, for their talents to shine. Oh, I wish I could preach better. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Listen. Listen to what Jethro's counsel was. This is almost, and I'm preaching too long, and I'm sorry. I wish I could figure out how to do this better. I mean, this is basically Moses in the same place the apostles are in the New Testament Jerusalem church. This is what Jethro, while he's with Moses in the wilderness, watching him all day long, people are lined up at his door. Hear me now. Get this picture. All day long, all day, he's judging the people. One moment. Amen. One by one, one by one, one by one, sorting out problems. I had my laundry hanging up, and somebody come running by on a fast horse, and a blow of cloud of dust on my laundry. Moses, I want you to do something about that. Somebody mowed their grass, and the grass come over on my sidewalk. Moses, I want you to do something about that. Somebody said something to me, and they talked ugly to one of my children, and I want you to do something about that. Get used to it, Brother James. I could write a book on all the things people showed up in my office that they wanted me to do something about that. And some of them wanted me to do something about it and not use their name. And just somehow I was supposed to get a spiritual revelation to go talk to them about it just because they wanted. And some of them even wanted me to report back to them that I did indeed. You know what? When that starts happening, I can't pray. I can't seek God. I can't study the Word of God to come back and deliver a message on Sunday morning to help your little babies and moms and dads. You know, we're living in a crazy world. And the world don't care if they get grass or dust on your laundry. Come on now. Amen. Or whether you get your gallon of milk or your loaf of bread. There is something greater, my friend. And we have got to move past some of these things. Oh, I wish somebody helped the preacher preach. I tell you what, I got the old plow down deep this morning. Matter of fact, my flesh is kind of wanting to pull it up just a little bit. Amen. And see if we can't have church in here. Amen. But you need to hear what I'm telling you this morning, or we will never be able to take off and get where God wants us to be. Amen. This is what he said, Moses. You can't handle those little things, buddy. I know you got a good heart, and you're a type of Christ even, but you can't deal with this. Amen. Listen to this. Listen to what he said. This is Jethro's counsel to Moses. Thou wilt surely wear away. Preach now. Both thou and this people that is with thee. Dude, you're going to wear out. And you're going to wear them out. And we are going to never get out of this wilderness. That's the reason some holiness churches can't grow. That is the reason some of them will never grow. Is because the pastor is constantly wearing them out. And he's wearing himself out in the process. While he's trying to discipline them, handle them, teach them every little thing. When to blow their nose. Well, come on now. Amen. Somebody help me preach in here. Amen. And what it'll do, it will take something out of you. It will wear you out. It will wear you down. And it will wear them out. And we'll never get where we need to be. How many churches do I know that started out with a great revival and a great move of God, but they wore out? If I want to get where I need to be, I'm probably going to have to get used to preaching more this way. Amen. Jethro understood, no matter how noble the intentions of Moses were, he was limited in his ability. Think about it, folks. 1.5 million people is trying to live off of him Even Moses spake one time words to this effect. Have I become to you a nursing father? Everything you get, you got to get from me. Anyway. Oh. Lift your hands, church, all over the house. I need God to help me. I know I'm telling you something here. I think there's some in this congregation receiving. The ones of you that haven't learned to receive at this level yet, ask God to help you and open up your heart and give you a greater hunger. Because this ride we're on is not always going to be an emotional ride. Amen. I can't preach every Sunday like I preached 2 weeks ago. It just don't happen that way. But if we're to get where we want to be, we're going to have to take some time to hear what God's plan is. Amen. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear what his plan was? What the priest of Midian told the great man of God that heard God speak the voice of God out of the burning bush. Man, listen, people had this attitude. Man, I've heard from God out of the burning bush. You think you can tell me something? You think you can tell me something? Priest of Midian, you think you can tell me something? I've heard God speak out of the burning bush. Have you? If you get an attitude like that where you think you can't learn, you're going to be in trouble. Listen to the father-in-law's words of wisdom. Amen. There ought to be some father-in-laws in here. Brother Glenn, you ought to really say amen right now. You help some of these son-in-laws here if they'd just listen to you, couldn't you? Sure could. Said Moses, it's thousands, it's hundreds, it's fifties, and it's tens. Amen. And I'm not talking about the green stuff right now, but that would work, wouldn't it? It's thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. You put some men over thousands and you let them deal with them. Then you put some over 50, you let them deal with them. And you let it work up to you to only the hard cases, Moses. Oh, would somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? Moses done it. And Moses didn't wear out, did he? Come on now. Moses didn't wear out. Did they get the children of Israel into the land of Canaan? Brother Carlton, out of just hearing about promises to into promises. Amen. I'm just about done. I want to read this passage to you. It's okay. I know what some of you are thinking. I know. But it's okay. Praise God. Amen. Some of you are thinking, oh, the pastor's really struggling today. But and the only reason I'm struggling because I think you're thinking that, because I don't really feel like I am. Because I'm preaching exactly what God wants me to. So y'all quit feeling sorry for me. I'm doing fine. I'm feeling sorry for you because I've been up here a long time and you're sitting on the pew. But we do want to move, don't we? Don't we? We do want to keep seeing souls saved like we did last Sunday night, don't we? Oh, woo! Man. Praise God. So as it relates to the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 30, are given a long list of things to be created. Moses is God. Because God keeps giving Moses these things. He's getting the commandments. He's getting civil order that stands to this day. Praise God. How many know that? Still today. He got the best ever of civil order and civil law. He's getting all of these things about somebody's sidewalk and somebody's grass and somebody's ox. And if somebody's ox gores and you got to pay him this much money. Can you imagine all the detail? I mean, just writing it all down is one thing, but he had to know. And Moses had to know this stuff. When all these people stand before him, he's got a judge just standing in line all day long. He's got to know what to do if a neighbor's ox gored somebody. He got to know how to handle that. Oh God, I really hope, I hope y'all are getting my heart today. I hope this is coming across. I hope it's coming off of my spool and going on to yours. It's hard to believe that the pressure this man was under. Chapter 31 of Exodus tells him all these things. But then he says, in my words, Moses, don't worry about it. For I put it in the heart of Bezalel. Bezalel. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur. Amen. Are y'all still here? That year at Hobbs camp meeting, and Brother Dillard had my dad reading for him, probably Brother Dillard, third, fourth grade, fifth grade education. He says, Aaron and Hur stayed the hands of Moses. Aaron on one side, Hur on the other side. Brother Dillard, you know, he's just preaching away. They're reading scripture for him. He said, see there, women, he didn't leave y'all out of it. My dad said, I talked to him after church. He said, Brother Dillard, that's H-U-R, that's Hur. That was a man. So he just dropped his head and smiled a little bit and shook his head. Praise God. Yeah. They may not have known everything, but they knew how to get a church out of Egypt, didn't they? Come on. Come on, old timers. Oh, help us, Jesus. Are y'all still here? You did okay? Praise God. The son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled. Don't worry about it, Moses. I have filled him. Amen. Nobody else in the church can be filled with the Spirit except the pastor. Nobody else can be filled with the Spirit. Nobody else can know what to do. That's not what the Bible says here. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Somebody shout hallelujah now. Amen. To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass, and in cutting stones, and to set them in the carving of the timber, to work all manner of workmanship. And I behold, I have given him with Aholiab, amen, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all the wise men, amen, wise-hearted, I have put wisdom that they may make all that I command thee. Amen. I know I give you a long list of stuff here, Moses, but while I'm telling you what to do, I've already raised up somebody in the tribe of Judah. Amen. All you got to do, man, is take them the plans, and they know what to do. They know how to make it happen. They know how to get it done. Why? Not in their own wisdom, but because God, somebody shout now. And because God put it in their heart to do a work for God. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Notice how will this plan have worked in the New Testament church. Take you back to Acts chapter 6, verse 6. They chose out those seven men. Y'all read it. We read it. Y'all read it together. Okay, now, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Woo! Hallelujah. And you know what happened? The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests, amen, were obedient to the faith. Praise God. I wish everybody would stand all over this house right now. Oh, yes. Take these words I've given you this morning while somebody's getting ready to get us a song. Amen. Would you lift your hands and your heart right now? Amen. God wants to use all of us in this altar call this morning. This is a general altar call. Amen. I believe while I'm preaching right now, amen, God has laid some things before us. God is putting it in the hearts. Amen. I am telling you right now, church, I've had young men, amen, pull me aside, amen, and try to encourage me, Pastor, we need to do something. I can think of all the reasons why. I can think of a lot of reasons why we can't. But if you all pray for me like I'm praying for you, God can raise up people right here in this generation, right here in this church that say, Preacher, while I was praying, the Lord showed me how we could do that. And the Lord showed me how I think that could happen. And he showed me over here, somebody, how I think that could happen. Come on now. Are y'all hearing me preach? Are you willing? Are you ready? Are we ready for a launch? Are we ready to go somewhere? Amen. The Holy Ghost has moved for the last 3 years, sometimes with tongues and interpretation. Amen. That God wants Bethany to do something else. I'm telling you right now, it's out of my realm. I don't have those expertise. I'm not a man of resources. I don't, Brother Dickie, I don't even know how to do what I feel like God has put in my heart. I don't even know how to do it. But God's speaking to my heart, Brother Leslie. There's people in your church that knows how. Come on. Amen. Brother James, could we before you go into that song, could we just sing a couple, just a chorus of an old hymn that everybody knows? And it goes like this. Jesus, use me. Please, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work. Come on, sing it with me. That I can do. And even though it's humble, come on now, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Let's sing that one more time. I want to talk to you about that just a little bit. Oh, Jesus, you. Don't say it if you don't mean it, but if you mean it from your heart, say it. Are you willing to let God abound? Are you willing to abound in your calling? That I can do. Yeah, but I want to do something else, Lord. Even though it's humble. Oh, Lord, help my will to crumble. Hold on just a minute. Y'all can go back to what y'all are going to sing here in a minute. I just want to talk to you about that. A man by the name of Jack Campbell wrote that song back in the 60s. He also wrote March Around the Throne one time for me. He also wrote, Brother Dickie, one of you and Sister Gwen's old favorite songs. I can't take a life that's sin-stained and make it over again. That's Jack Campbell. But I know a man who can. I know George Jones took that song and made it famous. Amen. He was a very humble man. Do you see the same man that wrote, even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Amen. This is what he said. I heard him give a testimony. I heard Jack Campbell give a testimony. Brother Tim, he said, I was back in my old truck out on the highway. Had to drive across Alabama and Mississippi up into Tennessee. Amen. See, you get it, Brother Frey? He's not some great man. He was up in his 70s when I heard him give that, Brother Hughes, driving truck. Still writing gospel songs, driving truck. He said, I walked in there to get those things I needed. He said, the lady sitting there at the desk where I'd always done business for years, buying things to load up my truck with and take it back to Alabama. Are y'all still here? She says, Jack, what kind of songs do you write? He said, gospel songs. She said, well, so what's some of the songs you wrote? Well, he mentioned that one that George Jones sang, you know, because it made it famous. The one that Brother Dickie and him used to sing. I know a man who can. She said, oh, my little girls used to sing that. She said to Jack, she said, I have it up here. I have it up here. Y'all get it? I have it up here in my head, but I don't have it here. You know, he said, I prayed before I pulled out on the highway that morning, asked God to help me, give me a chance to be a witness to somebody. He said he realized that was his opportunity right there. He said, I asked if I could pray with her right there. She said, no, if you do, I'll get fired. He said, all right, just when you go home tonight, just remember God sent a gift to you about... He said about 1,900 years ago. When you get home tonight, you pray and you receive the gift and he'll come into your life. Are y'all still here? Amen. He said, a week later, I was back. And she said, Jack, I got it here and I got it here. Amen. She said, I went home and done what you said. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you. Amen. And Jack said, he said in his testimony, I'm not a preacher, amen, but I've wrote a few gospel songs. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, use me, Lord. Please don't refuse. Excuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Amen. While they get ready to sing a good song, I wish somebody would just start filing down these aisles right now. Amen. Let's just have a general altar call here this morning and say, God, would you help me? I want to abound in my calling. I want you to place on my heart.